For some intrepid travelers, it's a Christmastime tradition to wander far from home for the holidays. Have you traveled overseas, into another culture, met some of Santa's cousins for a different take on the holiday season? Let's hear about your holiday travels right now on Travel with Rick Steves. We're at 877-333-7425. Abigail's on the line in Morristown, New Jersey. Abigail, thanks for your call.
Hi.
Hi. How have you celebrated Christmas overseas?
This past Christmas, I went to Finland to visit a good friend. We stayed with her family in a little town called Sahalahti, which is about 170 kilometers from the capital, Helsinki.
Huh. And what was that like?
Oh, it was wonderful. We sat around for, you know, Christmas dinner, which they had on Christmas Eve. They celebrate with a big dinner on Christmas Eve. And then towards the end of dessert, there was this hand with her in a red sleeve that came up and tapped on the window. And it turned out to be Santa Claus. And he sort of startled us. We just saw this hand that appeared.
A hand in the window.
A hand in the window. And then it turned out to be Santa Claus, which in Finnish is Jalapuki. And he came in and he delivered presents. And we sat around and we drank coffee. So, and then chatted for some time. And Jalapuki spoke no English. And we spoke very little Finnish. But our friends who were hosting us for the holiday, they translated the conversation.
Huh.
And so Santa Claus had hit a reindeer on his way to our house for the night, which is exactly the opposite of what you expect Santa Claus to do. So there was a little bit of irony and humor in that.
So you got Santa Claus herding reindeer. You got a strange sleeved arm knocking on the window in the dark. When do the Finns have their gifts then? That's the way the, don't let the children hear, but that's how the parents set up the gift giving for the children is Christmas Eve?
Yes, Christmas Eve, and Santa Claus arrives and he brings the gifts on Christmas Eve.
Oh, okay.
And then we sat around and gave out gifts. And then late in the evening, we did a Christmas Eve sauna, because all the Finns have saunas built into their home.
And that's what I learned. I was looking for a sauna in Helsinki, and they said there's not that many public saunas anymore because people have them at home. And so apparently everybody's got their sauna. How was a Christmas sauna different than a regular sauna? Or was it just the fact that it was midnight Christmas and they all hop into the sauna?
Well, you're very full of all the Christmas food.
Oh,
you
yeah.
sit in the sauna and you relax. And then afterward, you go outside into the freezing cold where everything is covered in snow. And you walk around in your towel, barefoot in the snow, but you don't even feel cold.
Do the hardcore teenagers or anything roll in the snow or anything like that from the sauna?
Yeah, they do. We just walked around barefoot. We didn't roll in it, but apparently that's what they do.
So you're walking around barefoot in the snow and not even feeling the cold. It's that
Jalapuki
Finnish Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
What was the dinner like? What did you eat?
There were lots of small different dishes. There were different types of casseroles. We ate different types of fish, and then there was some type of berry that was almost like a cranberry. I forget what it was called, and they made this delicious sauce with it, and they had picked the berries themselves. And then the Finns love coffee, so we had lots of coffee after dinner and all throughout our visit. And we also had a drink called gluggi, which is like mulled wine, which is big in Finland around the holidays.
Now, it sounds like it was sort of a refreshing chance for you because you've had many Christmases and probably lots of childhood memories. Did you find it was kind of a way to freshen up your Christmas?
Yeah, it sort of brought the magic of childhood Christmas back because everything was new and everything was a surprise. So it had all of this exciting Christmas magic because you never knew what was going to happen next. It was really special to get to stay with this family that we were good friends with because, you know, they showed us around their town. On Christmas Day, we went and took a little hike in the woods and it was snowing and it was very beautiful.
Nice.
And then the mother that we were staying with, she was a school teacher. So we went and we got to visit their school, which I think when traveling, that's always one of the coolest things is getting to visit, you know, schools and grocery stores and seeing how such ordinary things are so different from how they are at home. It really shows you a lot about the culture.
Absolutely. To have friends and to be there, especially during holiday time. And now, Abigail, you can invite your Finnish friends to Christmas in New Jersey someday.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Definitely. Hey,
thanks for your call and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
We're sharing our Christmas memories from our travels, and Janet's on the line from Manhattan Beach in California. Hey, Janet.
Hi, Rick.
Thanks for your call. What are your memories of travel during Christmas?
Well, I've gone two times at two Christmas market tours, and we also have a daughter that lives in Norway, and so we have started or ended our Christmas market trips in Norway. We went in July, and my daughter's mother-in-law fixed Christmas dinner for us. She set her table with Christmas dishes and fixed a whole Christmas dinner. It was in the west side of Norway, and so we had pinochet with boiled potatoes and mashed rutabaga, and that was dinner with a special brew in a can.
What is pinochet, first of all?
Pinochet is, I believe it's sheep ribs that have been dehydrated. And when you go into the delis, you'll find them hanging by wires, and they buy them, and then they take them home, and then they are rehydrated for about, I think it's 24 hours. They're soaked in water. And then in the morning of Christmas, they put water in the bottom of a pan. They put the ribs in with some, they put some birch sticks in the bottom, put the pinochet in top, and then cover it and bake it all day long.
Wow.
And so the ribs have very little meat, but you get two or three on your plate, and that's dinner.
And this is what you had in Bergen on the west of Norway.
It was north of Bergen, but it was on, on the west coast.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was kind of fun, and to have that in July was a little bit of a treat.
Janet, you were in Norway. Were you there for the Santa Lucia festivities?
Well, actually, yes. We were there on Santa Lucia this last year, and my grandson was 4 years old, and we went to his preschool and saw the Santa Lucia children's procession into the classroom. And, of course, it's 8 o'clock in the morning, and it's still dark. So the children are dressed all in white robes, and they come in holding their little electric candles, singing Santa Lucia.
So they have little electric candles, and my memory was a beautiful, adorable little girl with like a wreath of electric candles.
Yes, so there was one special girl.
Like she's, I would imagine in the old days, it would be a girl that would actually have candles in her crown, kind of, as she leads the procession in. And this is Santa Lucia Day. I believe it's December 13th.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. So that must have been a gorgeous experience.
It was really, really fun, and especially with the little children singing that song. It was very nice. And they had baked goodies. The children had helped to bake the goodies that were served to the parents and families that were there. And
there's a traditional Santa Lucia bun that they give to the grandmothers and grandfathers and so on.
Yes.
Well, that sounds like you're blessed to have relatives or good friends in Norway where you can drop in and be part of the family.
Yes, and it was great. And, you know, they also have in Bergen the largest gingerbread village in the world.
Huh. And what's that like?
It's like a high school gymnasium is completely filled with gingerbread, and they gather the things from the different clubs and schools, and anyone can submit a gingerbread piece to include. And then this team puts it all together, and it's all lighted, and you walk through these curved pathways through the display. They go all the way up the walls. They have, you know, layers like they're up on mountains. And
so it's almost a human-scale village made out of gingerbread.
It is, and you'll see they make airplanes, and it's like some of the schools will have like a little parade, and they'll put the faces of the children on the little gingerbread people that they make.
Oh, that's beautiful. Think of all the experiences that are going on all over the world during holiday season in the winter, and so many travelers stay home every year and have the same thing over and over again. It's so fun to branch out and try something a little different. The biggest gingerbread village in the world on the fjord country of Norway.
Yes.
You mentioned you went to Christmas markets. What was your favorite Christmas market and why?
That's a hard question.
Because Nuremberg is famously supposed to be the best.
Probably Dresden.
Dresden, yeah, because Dresden's a great city with a great heritage. And I think the cool thing about
Dresden
is... It actually
has the oldest Christmas market.
Is that right?
They claim it. Yeah, 584 years. So, and they have several. I mean, there are several, so you just go around the corner and you're at a different one, and each one has a little bit of a different flavor. I know they have a medieval one in another, in like one of the courtyards of one of the castles, and they all have a little bit different things. I had expected to see a lot of handcrafts and that kind of stuff. I didn't see much of that, but the things I did buy was there was a gentleman making brushes there, and he showed us how they make the brushes, and so I bought some brushes from him.
If you were a shopper, you've got the chimes that are powered by candles.
Yes.
You've got
yes.
the nutcrackers, of course. You've got
mm-hmm.
the smokers.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there's some traditional gifts that might be fun to take home as a souvenir. Hey, Janet, thanks so much for your call and sharing your Christmas memories.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Do your Christmas holiday traditions include traveling overseas? We're exploring the thrills of getting away from home for the holidays right now on Travel with Rick Steves. We're at 877-333-7425. And by email, it's radio@ricksteves.com. We have an email from Becky in Fort Worth, Texas. And Becky writes, please name a few cities in Europe you visited at Christmas that have really been beautifully decorated for the season that capture the Christmas spirit. And do they decorate early in December? Well, Becky, that's one thing about European Christmas is it's a much longer season, I think, than we have in the United States as far as rituals and important days. It's a different thing in different countries. I know in Scandinavia, Santa Lucia Day, in a couple of weeks before Christmas, is a big deal, and people are all decorated and out singing for that. And in Italy, for example, the Christmas for the children sort of climaxes on January 6th, Epiphany. That was the day the wise men brought their gifts to the Christ child. And in Italy, that's the day the witch, La Befana, comes. And if you're a good kid, you'll get good gifts. And if you're a bad kid, you'll just get a sort of a disappointment. But every day throughout that period around Europe, you'll find wonderful, wonderful sacred traditions. And it's not as commercial as we're used to here in the United States. Places I've been to that are particularly nicely decorated, you know, I just think Europeans love to decorate, and they sometimes it's in your face, sometimes it's more sophisticated and subtle. Paris is famous for its high fashion sense, and it will be decorated in a high fashion sense way. One thing I really enjoy are the little presepi, the little manger scenes that you'll find in churches that are sort of, it's like open house. The churches are welcoming people to stroll in, and people actually get their kids together and walk around the town and pop into the different community centers and churches to see the manger scenes, the presepi. Just like where I live, we used to always go down and see the decorations in the windows of the department stores. So there's lots of opportunities in Europe to connect, and also it's a great time for sightseeing. You just got to have your warm weather clothing because it's going to be awfully cold, but people will have warmth in their hearts. Lynn's calling from Coral Springs in Florida. Hey, Lynn, have you been in London for Christmas?
I have been in London so many times for Christmas, I could almost do it blindfolded. But I've seen the progression from the early 90s to the present day, and it is a totally different world. In the beginning, I saw this horrible scraggly tree that I believe it's Finland that donates
Norway.
It. Oh, Norway. Norway donates it to the city, and they put it up in Trafalgar Square. And I looked at it in the early 90s, and I thought, this is Christmas, especially after New York City, where you see that huge Christmas tree. Everything that we do in the United States is giant-sized. And
oh, yeah.
I just looked at that thing, and I thought, this is the city of, I mean, the country of Dickens and Victoria and Albert bringing the Christmas tree as a tradition into England, and there was nothing. I was so disappointed.
You mean with that tree, with the tree on Trafalgar? Is that what you were disappointed about?
Oh, yes, and also disappointed in the entire city. There was nothing. Oh,
okay, well, first of all, let's talk about that tree for a minute, because that's quite a tradition, and I know that London and Norway have a long friendly relationship because, and Norway is very thankful for it because
yes.
London hosted the king and the government in exile of Norway during World War II when the Nazis took over Norway. And I believe ever since, just after the war, the Norwegians have cut down a spruce tree. It's usually an old and grand tree, normally like 20 meters tall, and they actually ship it to London, and the mayor and the king are all involved in this big ritual. And it's been going on every year since 1947. So you saw it 30 years ago. I hope the tree's a little better now.
Oh, I've seen it throughout the years, but I'm looking at it with these American eyes and expecting to see this absolutely grand spectacle. and the entire city disappointed me. Not only that scraggly tree, which will still be a scraggly tree, hardly decorated in our eyes, even for Christmas now, but it's what has happened in the transformation throughout the years with all of London.
Right.
And they have the most magnificent Christmas decorations you can see anywhere. New York doesn't light a candle
wow.
to what you will see in London now. That's how spectacular it is. And they have a sense of artisticness, which we just put up lights in the United States. And then, as we all know, in the suburbs, you have lights groaning on trees, on houses. But in London, everything is just done to the nth degree. You will have angel wings spread from one side of the street to the other, and they go on and on and on down the street. And you just sit there in wonderment, how did they think of this? It's so beautiful. Uh-huh. And Covent Garden in the market have these bulbs that are on steroids. They're huge, hanging down from the ceiling. And it's like the imagination that it took. Then Regent Street will do something different every year.
Well, Lynn, would you say when you think about these incredible decorations, are they kind of ye old and Dickensian, or are they modern and sort of, like really trendy?
I hate to say it, but it's modern and trendy, and it's absolutely stupendous. So that's why I was saying in the beginning, I was looking for a Dickensian Christmas, and there's no such thing like that over there.
Right.
It's all modern.
Well, I think if you go to a small town in the countryside, because I've seen Bath at Christmas, and it feels quite Dickensian, but London's going to be kind of trendy and right up to date and showing off from a modern way of its energy as it celebrates the holidays.
Modern energy is an excellent way of putting it, and it's something that I never expected when I compare it to the early 90s and what I was expecting
now,
to see.
Now, how does London today compare to other cities that you may have seen in Europe for Christmas?
Ah, that's interesting. All of this is work-related. That's why I'm over in Europe so much. Paris underplays it because they are not in your face. Like, London is American in your face now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very subtle, and it's very sophisticated, and the streets, the high streets, are the same as in London. High streets meaning the shopping streets. That's where you'll see most of the decorations.
Right.
And in Paris, they're more understated. But I asked a friend who is a tour guide to please put together a tour for my friends to see the Christmas traditions in Paris, because I really don't know them. And he brought us into some stores that I never would have walked into that had that beautiful Parisian subtlety that, to this day, I can't believe it. And you would never see this in London or New York.
Yeah.
It's magnificent. I've learned a lot.
I've
seen a lot in the cultural differences, and it's a sight to see. You really need to be in another city
London,
to understand what yours is like.
Hey, well, enjoy your future holiday travels. And Lynn, thanks for calling and reporting so candidly on what you discovered.
You.
Happy Christmas.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
Rick.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington by Tim Tatton,
Donna Bardsley, and Kazmira Hall. Our website is managed by Andrew Wakeling. Promotion support comes from Sheila Gerzoff, and our theme music is by Jerry Frank.
You'll find more at ricksteves.com/radio.
Wishing you warm and healthy holidays from all of us at Travel with Rick Steves.